Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. I'll read in the NIV. It reads, "As he taught, Jesus said, 'Watch out for the teachers of the law. They are like a walk around in flowing robes, and to be greeted with respect in marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely.' Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowds putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw their large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, 'Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on.'" Let's pray. Heaven Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word from Mark chapter 12, Lord. We thank you that your word is always fresh and new each and every morning. And Father, we pray so that, Lord, you reveal the wonderful truths that we see from your word. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you encourage us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You find that in the section that we have read, and even the section below, you find Jesus encourages us not to follow the teachers of the law. Why? Because they were hypocrites. And you find that these teachers of the law, they loved wearing their flowing robes that they wore. They loved respect and they loved fame in the marketplaces. They loved to be recognized in the synagogues, and they loved to sit in the most important places or important seats in the synagogues. And not only that, they wanted to parade themselves in the presence of God. And not only that, also even when it came to banquets and parties, these were the folk who wanted to sit in the places of honor. And it's said to say that, you know, when you live in, you know, during our time, we see, you know, people with that kind of attitude. There are believers who have a similar attitude to the Pharisees. They always want to sit in high places. They always want to be recognized with these respectable titles. And it's not enough for them just to be called by their normal titles, such as pastors. Some of them, they said, "No, we want to be called Dr., Reverend, Bishop, and Apostle." And today it's said that they, you know, even, you know, we see many people, ministers, some of them wants to be called prophets. The term pastor is not enough anymore, but they want to be called apostle, prophet, and so on. And these folk, they see themselves as superior than anyone else. And they think that they need to be treated differently. Why? Because they love recognition. And this is what Jesus is talking about in the passage that we have read. In verse 40, Jesus says this. He says, Mark tells us that these teachers of the law, they devour widows' houses. They devour widows' houses. So they not only that they wanted these places of honor, but they treated other people badly. And Mark uses the word devour. And you find that this word is used a number of times in the New Testament. The word devour is used 16 times in the New Testament. And it literally, it means to eat up. It means to consume. It means to swallow. It means to destroy utterly. It means to rob. It means to rob. It means to exploit. It means to exploit. So in other words, this word that is used there, it tells us about the attitude and the behavior of the Pharisees towards the widows. And I think one can even translate the word, that very word, as victimize. Victimize, which means to cheat out or to deceive someone. So in other words, you find that these teachers of the law, they victimized the widows. They deceived them. They exploited them. They exploited them. And you find that, you know, how do they exploit them? They exploited them by overcharging them. So they charged them more than what was required. So they cheated upon these widows. And you find that they misled them into error in terms of the teachings that they were teaching. Now, interesting, some of the commentators, when we are looking at this passage, they mentioned that they preyed on the weak and the vulnerable. And you find that, you know, in the Bible, you find that widows were classified among as those who were helpless. And we see that in the Old Testament. And you find that God in the Old Testament actually denounces the abuse of the helpless and the defenseless. And just to share with you, if you open to Isaiah chapter 10, we see the prophet Isaiah, he denounces those who robbed, those who victimized the widows. And in that passage, Isaiah tells us that these folk who behave in such a manner, they are going to be destroyed. I'm just going to read some few verses from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. And verse 1, he says this. He says, "Woe, woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. For yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised." So you find, friends, that, you know, even Isaiah talks about that. He says, woe to those who make these unjust laws, those who oppress the vulnerable. And friends, you find that Jesus is talking about the same idea here. He's telling us that the teachers of the law, they devoured the widow's house. This is a figure of speech that tells us that these religious leaders, they were exploiting the generosity of the vulnerable people, such as the widows. And some commentators mentioned that, you know, you find that they will say that these teachers of the law, unethically, they acquired the widows' properties through some kind of technicality. And they abused their reputation by taking advantage of the helpless. So you find this is what other commentators say. Now let's look at verse 41. I'm going to read. In verse 41, it tells us that Jesus sat at the opposite place where the offerings were put. So Jesus goes in the temple. And what does he do? He sits at the opposite place to watch what was happening. So you find that, you know, as Jesus said, we are told that he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in the large amounts. So you find that Jesus is sitting in the temple. Now, it's interesting. You find that earlier on, we are told that Jesus went into the temple to condemn those who were selling and buying animals in the temple. But right now, what do we see? We see Jesus sitting opposite to the place where they were putting their offering. Just try to picture it. You find that Jesus is on the side and is watching what's happening in the temple. And when you look at the treasury, the word treasury there, it refers to the 13 shofar chests that stood around the court of women. There were 13 places where they could put their monies in there. And interesting, you find that the NIV tells us that rich people threw the large amounts. Just imagine this in your mind. You're seeing the rich people, they were throwing large amounts. And during those years, they did not have paper money. So it was mainly coins that were thrown, a bunch of coins. So the rich person will throw in there, and obviously it will make a noise. Quah! It's going there. The other rich man comes, he throws another heap of money. Quah! And it's making noise, and it's drawing the attention of the people. So you find that they threw these monies in there. I like the NIV. The NIV actually says it clearly. They actually threw, they were casting these amounts in the treasury. And you find that as they were doing that, what's happening? Many people are noticing. Many people are noticing. And Jesus is noticing what's happening there. And friends, you find that this was show off. This was show off. So the rich were parading their wealth. They were parading their wealth there. And you find, you know, this is what we see happening there. They are parading their wealth, and Jesus is sitting, is watching all these things happening. So we see this happening. We see this, the religious leaders, they were hypocrites. They were false shepherds of Israel. They led the people astray. So the people were giving in that way. So you find there's a problem there. Interestingly, when you look at how Jesus speaks about the Pharisees, in Matthew 23, this is what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you," in Matthew 23, verse 13. I'll read a couple of verses in Matthew 23. There's a huge section from verses 13 all the way to verse 28. Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. And he uses the same language that Isaiah used. And he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in the people's faces." Verse 15, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over the land and sea to win one convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much as the child of hell as you are." So you see the language that Jesus is talking about here, about the Pharisees. Verse 25, he says, "Woe to you, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup or the dish, and yet inside it's full of greed and self-indulgence." And this explains why the Pharisees wanted to get rid of Jesus, because they knew that Jesus was telling them the truth about their action, about their wickedness. So we see this is what's happening. So Jesus is sitting in the temple, and people are giving their monies there. And we see, why were they doing that way? They were doing that way because why? Because the Pharisee had led the people of God astray. So it had become a show off in the temple. It had become a show off. People were parading, throwing these large amounts of money, making these noises. And they realize the rich man has come. And they realize another rich man has come. Now, interesting, when you look now to verse 42, Jesus says, Mark says, but. Mark is now making a contrast between what was happening in the temple and what's happening right now. And we see, we are told that, but a poor widow came in. She came in. Interesting, the NIV doesn't use the word that she threw the amount in there. He says that she put in two very small copper coins. So she put in quietly in there. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that no one in the temple had anything going in there. No one had anything going there. Because these were two copper coins worth only a few cents. So Jesus observes the widow coming in, and he sees her putting in these very small coins. And of course, when you look at that, it shows from the passage that when the woman put in the money, she did not call for any attention at all. So we see now, looking at also the commentators tell us that the amount that she gave, this was the smallest Jewish coins in the circulation in Palestine. So in other words, this woman, she was poor and needy. She was a destitute. She was a destitute. So we see that happening. Then Jesus calls his disciples, and Jesus makes this observation in verse 43. He says, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others, for she gave out of her wealth. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. So Jesus is making a comparison. He's saying, those rich folk, what did they do? They gave out of their wealth. And yet, when you look at this widow, she gives out of her poverty. She put in everything that she had to live on. So you find that, you know, Jesus is commending the poor widow for her giving in the temple. In terms of percentage, we can say that she gave more than everyone else. Why? Because she gave everything that she had. She gave everything that she had. And friends, you find that, you know, Jesus here is talking about one thing. He's teaching us the fact that God does not care about the amount of money that we give, but God cares about the hearts. God cares about our hearts. What is our heart when it comes to giving? And friend, you find that, you know, when you look at this passage is talking about the false religion that the teachers of the law had perpetuated. We saw that they were devouring the widows. And what we see happening in this passage is an example of that. So we see that these poor people were being victimized. They were being deceived and exploited by the religious leaders there. You know, some years ago when I looked at this passage, I thought this passage is talking about, it's centering on the issue of giving. But the more I studied this passage, I started realizing that it's not talking about giving as such. It's portraying how the widows were victimized by the false religion of the teachers of the law. Now, interesting, when you look at this passage, the passage doesn't even tell us that this widow was a Christian or was a believer. The Bible is quiet about that. The Bible does not tell us that this widow knew the true God. The author of Mark does not even tell us about that. But what do we see? We see that, you know, she's not a spiritual hero in the story. She's not the main hero in the story. And we ask the question, what is she in this story? What is this woman in the story? And I tell you that she is a victim of the corrupt religion of the teachers of the law. And as we look at that, you find, remember, you know, she gave everything. You know, you look at what's happening here, you find that this has got nothing to do with Christian giving. Why? Because there's no way in the Bible where we're told that you have to come and give everything you have. Then you take a vow of poverty. You go home and die. And this is the story of this woman. She gave up everything. And she didn't have anything to live on. So you find that, you know, friends, Christian giving is not giving everything you have. Then you take a vow of poverty. And then spending your life leeching on everybody else in order to survive. That's not what Christian giving is about then. When you look in the Bible, Christian giving, it has to come out of our heart. We give a portion of what God has given us. What God has blessed us. That is Christian giving here. And in the Bible, we are reminded of the Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We are told that they gave beyond their ability. They gave themselves first to God. Then they gave what they had before the Lord. So friends, what we see here, you find that Jesus is not using the widow as a model of Christian giving. Actually, Jesus is actually condemning those who gave even the large amounts there, because they were doing it for show off. They were doing it to parade their wealth. So you find this happening. Jesus does not say the widow gave exactly the right amount. Jesus does not say anything about that. He does not say that the rich had too much left and the widow had the right amount to give. Jesus does not even say that. So friends, what do we see happening here? We find that this widow, she's a victim of the system that was happening there. And we see the widow's giving is just a simple outward action to the system, what the system did to the poor. And you know that if you want a blessing to God, this is what the Pharisees taught. If you want a blessing to God from God, go and give your money. She is a destitute. She has got only 2 cents left. And you find that if you look at the rabbinical rule, the rule among these religious leaders, they taught that the minimum offering was 2 copper coins. That was known as the minimum offering. So what do we see happening here? We see that the poor widow said to herself, I have no choice. Let me just take my 2 last coins. Let me not buy a meal with it. Let me take them. Let me take them and give them to the Lord so that the Lord will bless me. So this is what's happening here. So you find that was the system. That was the system. And we see a giving down to a last penny. Her last penny, the last amount of money that she has there. And we hear it today. You hear some churches, you hear them saying that you have to bring everything to the Lord, even your last penny to the Lord. When you give your money, what happens? God will open the flood gates. God will bless you with all that you need. We hear that being preached. So we see this. So in other words, you find what's happening here. You see the temple was still a den of robbers. You see these religious leaders, they were robbing the people. They were robbing the people. Especially here we see even the lowest, a destitute, worst of a poor widow. We didn't have much. They were being abused. So friends, you find this is what we see happening in this passage. You find that, and we see the same thing happening today with the so-called the prosperity gospel. You see these televangelists today, they are preaching and they say, bring everything to the Lord. You give him this, the Lord is going to give this back to you. So in other words, they twist the scriptures. They use the religious system to oppress the poor. And this is what we see happening here. The same thing was happening also in the life of the religious leaders during the time of Christ. We see them doing the same thing, oppressing the poor. Oppressing the poor, robbing from the poor. Now, interesting now, when you look at this passage, you find that, this passage, when you look at it, it's in the context, in chapter 13, just to show you what I'm talking about. In chapter 13, you find that, this passage is in the context of judgment, that God was going to bring judgment on the religious leaders. Because if you look at in verse 18, we are told, if you look at the whole section, it's dealing with the whole theme of judgment. And interesting now, you find that, as they were leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, look, teacher, what massive stones. So they were looking at the temple, and they looked at the temple, magnificent, big stones. And they say to you, say, look, teacher, what a massive stones. And commentators say that, you know, during those times, as the sun would come on, you know, in Jerusalem, as they see, as the rays hit the temple, it created a magnificent scene that it was so beautiful. Everyone noticed it. So we see this happening. So the one of the disciples says to Jesus, Jesus, look, what massive stone, what a magnificent buildings. And how does Christ respond? In chapter 13, verse 2, Jesus says this. He says, do you see all this? Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, these guys are building a system in which they are oppressing the poor. They are oppressing the needy. They are oppressing the poor. And they think that they are going to win. And Jesus is saying, look, guys, those stones that you see, you will not see them again. And we see this being fulfilled in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. So the temple was destroyed. Not only the temple, the whole religious system was destroyed. Up to this day, you won't see priests serving at the temple anymore. Up to this very day. So we see that happening. So in other words, you find that, you know, Jesus is against the abuse of the widows and the vulnerable. It's said that we live in a time where we hear in some of the churches these things happening, where we see the leaders, they are driven with the love for money. They preach this prosperity gospel and they promise people things that they can never grant and things like that. They exploit the poor and the vulnerable. The poor people are the ones who run to these people so that they want to know more about God. And unfortunately, what happens? They are misled. They are taught the wrong doctrine. And this is what we see happening. And this is what was happening at the temple. And not only that, in these so-called churches, you find that they emphasize too much of miracles, delivering people from poverty, delivering people from sickness, and all that. So that's the emphasis. While God's word is not taught in those contexts. So you find that there's the exploitation of the poor and the vulnerable. And those, not only who are vulnerable, those who are desperate. Those who are desperate. At one time, I got an SMS from one of my cousins. She sent me an SMS and says, you know, Brother Daniel, I heard about this prophet. He is in Cape Town. Can you please get me the holy water or the holy oil? And this is real. It was a cousin of mine who was looking for that. Holy oil. Why? Because they're desperate. Why? They're vulnerable. Why? They are in need. So you find, you know, we live in a context where we see these things happening. And not only that, these guys even sell even their stickers of their churches. And you see them in these cars, blessed by prophet so and so. Who are you to bless someone? It's only God. The Bible tells us that God is the one who blesses people. Not a human being. But we see these so-called prophets, so-called religious people, selling those stickers, selling this holy water, and they're abusing the whole system of religion, leading people astray. And friends, I might say this is the severe, severe abuse that Jesus actually saw there. And you find that this widow is an example of how the religious system devoured the widows, the poor, those who are needy. And you find that false religion, that's what it does. False religion will always try to prey on the widows and the vulnerable. And they do it, it's said to say that they do it in the name of Christ. They do it in the name of God, which is really sad. What a tragedy. This is in the context that we live in. So you see that being the case. That's why Jesus says, when he left, when the disciples asked him about the stones at the temple, Jesus says, not one stone will be left on another. Not. In other words, God, in his own time, is gonna tear this kind of system down. Even though the disciples was amazed at the architecture of this building, this magnificent temple. Although it was wonderful and all that, Jesus says, you know what? He's not impressed with the system. And what do we learn from this? I think we learn to look at ourselves as a church. We look at ourselves and say, are we worshiping God in the right way? Or we are falling into a system that we see in the world. It's said that this is what we see happening. We see the world trying to come into the church. One time I was shocked. My wife and I were invited by one of our families to come somewhere in Brackenville. And in Goodwood. It was Goodwood. We're invited to go there to watch, you know. So we stayed with our family for the weekend. Then we decided to go with them to their church. And we're shocked. When it came to the time of praise and worship, you ask the question, is this really praise and worship? Or it is the world that is in the church? So we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves as a church and ask ourselves, you know, if we are parading ourselves, if we are following in the ways of the religious leaders, we have to ask God to forgive us so that we follow him in the right path. And in closing, I just want to close by reading James 1. A familiar verse that we know from James 1. James 1, verse 27. This is what James says there. He says, religion. Okay, let me wait for the son to get to the passage. James 1, verse 27. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And this is what James is talking about. If we have this kind of religion, if we have this kind of faith, this is the kind of faith that God accepts from us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this passage that we have read from Mark, Lord. We pray so that, Lord, we will not be consumed by our love for ourselves, that, Lord, we go on to oppress those who are weak and those who are vulnerable, Lord. And Lord, as James says, Lord, we need to be looking after those who are poor, those who are vulnerable, coming in and protecting them from even harm, from abuses. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, as a church, as Kleinfontein Baptist Church, Lord, we pray so that we may be known to be people who look after those who are vulnerable, those who are looked down, those who are trampled upon. And Father, Lord, we pray so that, Lord, we will not follow the example of the Pharisees who were taking advantage of this folk, Lord, and they who were walking on their heads and misleading them, Lord. So, Father, we pray so that, Lord, you help us to be righteous. Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you help us to be righteous. May you continue to work in our hearts. May you continue to transform us so that we become like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you did not come for those who were healthy, but Lord, you came for those who were sick. Lord, you came for those who needed to be saved, to be saved. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you make us servants of you, Lord. So Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.